Right now, without any further ado, I want to welcome onto the show again, my friend, Senator Bill Cassidy. Bill, thank you so much for being on with me.
Hey, L. Bryant, thank you for having me, my friend.
Well, Bill, there's a lot of goings on that you are right in the middle of right now, and we have an audience across the nation, coast to coast, that is wanting to hear from you. And the one thing that I want them to know off the bat is that Bill Cassidy has spent over 25 years of his medical career. Yes, he's a medical doctor, assisting and helping people in public hospitals. And so his insight into how to fix this is very valuable to the rest of us as Americans. Bill, the question, though, that many have is, how will this affect those with pre-existing illnesses? I want you to speak to that, because there's a lot of disgruntled grassroots people, as you know. I'm going to be speaking to a bunch of them on Saturday in D.C., and they need to hear from you.
We address the problem of pre-existing conditions. Indeed, last night, President Trump tweeted that he would not sign a bill that did not address the issue of pre-existing conditions. Really strong statement. We have language in there which says a governor may decide he wants to try, or she wants to try and lower healthcare costs, and can come up with a plan to do so. But whatever plan that they have shall make sure that those with pre-existing conditions have access to affordable and adequate coverage. Someone asked me, what does affordable mean? Well, you look it up in Merriam-Webster, and it says affordable is low cost. You can afford it. So if affordable is that somebody can afford it, that's pretty good. Contrast that, if you will, CL. I know somebody who has a pre-existing condition in his family. He's paying $32,000 a year with deductible on top of that, and his premium's going up 20% this year, and so is his deductible. So that's not affordable.
No, that's not.
Our provision says anywhere from less than affordable.
In fact, that can very well be a car payment, or for some people, that's in some areas of the country, that's even a house payment that they're making.
Bill, no, that's a brand new car. You can buy a truck for $28,000, man.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely right. You know, Bill, the question too, and let's get the tough questions out of the way, because again, I will be speaking to many of our constituents from across the country on Saturday in D.C., and I know that they're going to ask me these questions, and I want them to hear from you. Again, many of them are saying, well, this is not what they promised us. Is this going to be better than Obamacare? I want you to speak to that, Bill.
You know, it's going to keep Obama, it's going to replace Obamacare and the Medicaid expansion, and it's going to give states the power, it's going to give patients the power. And when Obamacare took the power to Washington, D.C., we're giving it back to patients and back to states. Is it the perfect bill? No. But if people hadn't noticed, we've had a hard time replacing Obamacare. Is this a bill that can get 50 votes? I think it will. And that's better than any other bill out there.
That was my next question, and I heard Lindsey Graham saying that this is the time, if any Republicans have a better idea, to step up to the plate, and I believe it is. Do you really believe that we'll be able to get people like John McCain and the senators from Maine on this bill? Are we going to be able to get this through? I know the president is banking on it.
Well, all I can say is we're working hard. We're meeting with people. We're addressing their concerns. And what one person thinks is really good, another person isn't quite so sure about. We're just trying to make it happen. But at the end of the day, I'd like to think we can. And all I'm saying, all I can do, CL, is work as hard as I can. And if I work as hard as I can, I just hope good things happen.
Employer mandates, Bill. Employer mandates. Are you optimistic that this time that will be something that will be gone? I know that that's contained in the bill as far as elimination is concerned, but tell us how that works. Tell us why we should be happy about that.
We eliminate the penalties associated with the employer mandate and the penalties associated with the individual mandate. And we should be happy because lower income Americans have had their hours reduced from full-time to part-time so that employers would not have to pay that employer mandate. This is good for lower income Americans. You know, the penalty that is paid for not having insurance, 68% of the folks that pay the penalty report on their income tax less than $50,000 of income per year. We shouldn't be penalizing those folks. We should be helping those folks. And yet the penalty on the individual mandate disproportionately falls on them. So we're just trying to find something that gets rid of the mandates, the penalties associated with the mandates, and we think we have.
Many are saying, and they're your progressive liberals are saying, that those who are on Medicaid will necessarily suffer from Graham Cassidy. Bill, you're going to have to speak to that because they have this huge audience. And hey, Jimmy Kimmel has been singing your name across the nation here for the last 48 hours. And he's bashing it. So speak to how this affects those who are on Medicaid.
One, let me say, I understand Mr. Kimmel's just kind of passion. His son was born and almost died on his first day of life. But, you know, if you only hear from people with one perspective, you don't have a complete perspective. And I don't say that to kind of patronize, but it's just reality. And if you understand the bill, you understand that is not true. There's two aspects to Medicaid. One, on the Medicaid expansion, we still give the state the money. We just don't call it the Medicaid expansion. Here's the money. And you don't have to put up with all the Obamacare rules with what you do with it. You can do something different. You can put people in private health insurance. You can help pay for their premiums so they can get on their employer's insurance. You can give them a health savings account and allow them to buy their own insurance or to contract with the doctor to take care of them. So we do lots of things in this that we think work, but people don't understand that. It's easier to say that we end Medicaid. Well, we do, but we give the state the money that they would have received and allow them to do something else with it. So I just don't think that's a fair criticism, CEO.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell is saying that he's going to bring this to the floor next week. Bill, we're hoping that sometime next week we're going to see some type of movement from our Senate, that part of our Congress. And I'm so happy that you were able to come on with me and clarify some things. I'm going to give you the last word, the last pitch on this, and hopefully I can get together with you right after or right before we go to vote. You have the last word on this, Bill. Tell us what you want us to know as we close out this segment, and thank you so much for being on. You go ahead, take the floor.
Yeah, the Graham Cassidy bill does away with the individual mandate and the employer mandate. It repeals the medical device tax and gets rid of other taxes. It returns power to the patient and power to the state. All the power that Obamacare took to Washington, D.C., we give back to the state and to the patient. Power to the patient. It drives a stake in the heart of single payer. It changes, it keeps us from sliding in that direction. It's a good conservative solution, but it's also good for patients. CL, I'm optimistic we can get it through.
Bill Cassidy, folks. Bill, God bless you. God keep you. Thank you so much for being with me here on this Thursday evening. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, CL.
That was my senator here from the great state of Louisiana, Bill Cassidy, on the line with me.